coming up next, Minding Your Business, with marketing strategist and author Robin Block. This former New Yorker brings on the tough love to help you separate the gems from the junk and get the job done. Listen and learn. It's real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. Now, here's Robin.
Small Business Week starts tomorrow, and right on time, the White House issued its latest report on the state of small business. It's got a decidedly upbeat name for an election year: Moving America's Small Businesses and Entrepreneurs Forward. Yes, small business is going to save the economy. We've been hearing that a lot since the recession started. According to the report, 28 million small firms employ 60 million Americans, which is half of the private sector workforce. Some argue that the government should stay out of it. But can small business drive the recovery without government support? Will the new Jobs Act signed into law by President Obama last month really help even the smallest of businesses? We won't be able to solve all the world's problems in an hour, but we can talk about the latest programs designed to get business rolling. Stay tuned for our interview with our guest from the Small Business Administration and learn what you can do to catch the favorable eye of lenders here on Minding Your Business. It's reality radio for entrepreneurs, delivering the tools and information you need to start, run, and grow your small business. Are you starting one? Do you own a business? When you're ready, tell us about it or ask questions. We'll answer on the air by calling 866-712-1300 or give us a shout on Twitter or Facebook at MYB Media. My guest today is Mark Costello, the Lender Relations Supervisor in the Seattle District Office of the SBA. Mark has lived in Washington his whole life and grew up on the East Side. After graduating from Issaquah High School, Mark got his degree in finance from Washington State University. Right out of college, he went to work for the SBA, where he currently assists small businesses through his relationships with about 100 banks. Mark is just one of the many who helped deliver an all-time high of $30 billion of SBA-supported loans in 2011. Welcome to Minding Your Business.
Thank you very much, Robin. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Before we talk about the 2012 Act, there was a Jobs Act in 2010. How did that first part change what you do at the SBA?
Well, I think to best answer that question, we want to take a look at a couple of legislative packages that significantly impacted the SBA programs. The first was the Recovery Act, which took effect in 2009, and it was followed up by the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010. Both of those legislative packages included significant funding for the Small Business Administration. In fact, I have never seen anything like that during my 24-plus years with SBA. And I think that most of the money was very effectively targeted and utilized within the framework of the SBA programs. Specifically, several hundred million dollars were used to sort of prop up the SBA loan programs. There were both through the Recovery Act and that Small Business Jobs Act, significant enhancements to those programs that resulted in waivers of guarantee fees that would have typically been assessed to the small business borrowers under the SBA loan programs. And there were also large increases in the guarantee percentage that SBA makes available to the small business lenders that are participating in those programs. And ultimately, the impact of both the original Recovery Act and the first Small Business Jobs Act was a significant spike in lending activity under SBA's key financing programs.
Can you outline those key programs for us?
I'd be happy to. We essentially offer a couple of different loan programs depending on the need of the customer. And the flagship SBA program, if you will, is what we call the 7A Guaranteed Loan Program. Specifically, what happens there is that SBA provides a guarantee of as much as 85% on loans made by authorized participating lenders. These loans can be as much as $5 million. There's no minimum loan amount. I believe that if you looked at the current average SBA guaranteed loan amount in our area, it would probably be around $300,000. The guaranteed loan program, which, by the way, we call the 7A program, can be used for a variety of different business purposes and can ultimately benefit businesses at all stages of the life cycle, if you will. So a startup business could certainly access and benefit from a 7A guaranteed loan through the need to perhaps acquire inventory, build out tenant improvements, acquire equipment. An expanding business could benefit from the 7A guaranteed program, perhaps through the acquisition of a facility. And even a business that's been around for a long time could benefit from this program. Perhaps they're carrying some particularly onerous debt on their books. They could look at the SBA program as a means of refinancing that obligation and reducing those borrowing costs. And oftentimes we'll see people that will use the SBA program as a way to finance partner buyouts or acquisitions of existing businesses. The other program is sort of a companion to the 7A, what we call the 504 loan program, also benefited significantly from those two legislative packages. The 504 program is essentially more specifically targeted to businesses that are looking to acquire fixed assets. And in particular, we're talking about commercial real estate or long-lived equipment. So, for example, if a business owner is looking to purchase the facility that they've been leasing, the 504 program might be a great way to structure that. Essentially, what happens there is that SBA is a partner in financing with a first mortgage lender, and the SBA piece will be in a second lien position. Ultimately, the benefit is that that program is associated with long-term fixed rate financing that allows a borrower the benefit of knowing that their occupancy costs are going to be predictable going forward. And ultimately, the 504 program is going to allow an expanding business the benefit of retaining as much working capital as possible in their operation. Specifically, the 504 program can get a borrower into a facility oftentimes with as little as 10% down, allowing them to retain that necessary capital in their business to fuel their day-to-day operations. So those are the kind of the two key SBA loan programs. As I said, both benefited significantly from those two legislative packages to make them more accessible to both lenders and borrowers alike.
We're here with Mark Costello of the SBA office here in Seattle. I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Before we talk about the real nuts and bolts about how you access those programs, I wanted to at least play this little clip from the speech from President Obama that he gave when he signed the Jobs Act into law last month.
Now, because we're still recovering from one of the worst recessions in our history, the last few years have been pretty tough on entrepreneurs. Credit's been tight, and no matter how good their ideas are, an entrepreneur can't get a loan from a bank or backing from investors, it's almost impossible to get their businesses off the ground. And that's why back in September, and again in my State of the Union, I called on Congress to remove a number of barriers that were preventing aspiring entrepreneurs from getting funding. And this is one useful and important step along that journey.
Why are bank loans so important to small business?
When we see people come in to our office looking for assistance, they're generally going to be looking for a couple of things. One is some guidance and direction, maybe what you would call technical assistance. The other is money. And that money, as you know, oftentimes can be hard to come by.
I mean, most small businesses start maybe with their own cash.
Sure.
Seed money, credit cards, family.
Absolutely.
There comes a point, though, where they need a little bit more serious cash. And when it comes to big business, it seems that they can tap into equity and debt kind of structures.
Yeah, and those opportunities generally are not available for the typical run-of-the-mill small business. Certainly, we do speak with and maybe provide guidance to those types of companies that are involved in some significant growth types of ventures that might be an appropriate fit for angel investment or other kinds of equity funding. But the general service, retail, manufacturing type of small business is not going to typically be a viable candidate for that kind of funding. So as you said, at some point, the bootstrapping can only get you so far. The credit cards, the family and friends, the personal savings. And if that is putting a business in a position where they're moving forward in a profitable way, the next likely and logical course of action is to seek that additional capital that's going to be necessary to help to expand that business. And ultimately, that ends up being small business loans from community banks or large lenders in our area.
We have about a minute and a half. People are under the impression that the SBA lends money. Can you debunk that myth?
I'd be happy to debunk that myth, Robin. Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. An SBA loan is not necessarily a loan from SBA. It's an SBA-backed loan. As I mentioned earlier, what we do is we provide a guarantee on loans made by commercial lenders that are authorized participants in our program. That 504 program that we talked about is actually money that's raised from a debenture issue whereby SBA provides a guarantee to the investors in that particular product. So in neither case is that money coming directly from the Small Business Administration. The only caveat I would throw out is that to confuse things, SBA for some reason is involved in disaster loans. And so when there are natural, physical, and economic disasters around the country, the Small Business Administration is going to be on the scene to make available disaster home loans, disaster business loans that are both physical and economic in nature. And in those cases, the Small Business Administration does provide direct financing, but that's not what we're going to be talking about in the context of what I do or what happens through the SBA in the Seattle District Office.
Well, that's okay. It's good to clarify what we're going to narrow down in this one hour that we have. We've been speaking with Mark Costello of the SBA. After the break, we'll be talking about some of the tougher questions around lending. Mark is giving me a face. If you have any questions for my guest, give us a call at 866-712-1300 or tweet MYB Media. We'll answer your questions on the air, and we will be right back. Our show today is about some of the things government does to support small business, and I'm here with my guest, Mark Costello of the local SBA office. So we were debunking myths before about how the SBA does not loan money, okay? There's another myth that goes around that they actually have grant programs. Right. What's that about?
Yeah, that's another one of those that frankly, I'm not quite sure the origin, Robin. But oftentimes it's disappointing news for people to get from SBA that the financial assistance available through our agency is in the form of debt, in the form of an SBA loan, and the opportunities out there to get grants from SBA simply are not, it's non-existent for a small business.
I think it's those ads they see on late night television where the guy has this book with all the question marks all over it, and he says, you could get money from the government.
Yeah. And if one wanted to really do a lot of research on this, the fact of the matter is that for certain businesses with certain characteristics that do very specific things, there may be opportunities for grant funding through the federal government, And given the age of the internet in which we're now operating, we do have a resource to which we can refer folks. So we don't necessarily have to say, hey, there are no grants, period, end of story. There's actually something out there called grants.gov, and that is a portal for grant information through all of the different federal government agencies. And if one wanted to find out just exactly what is out there in that vast array of government funding, is there something for me and for my business? Check out grants.gov. Who knows?
Many of the programs that the SBA offers seem to help what the government calls small business, but how they define small business is not really that small, and often it includes employees. Yet many businesses that are starting today are tiny, maybe thanks to all the technology that is available, and they're started by one or only a few people. Can these new programs help them, or can your programs help them?
Absolutely. I think you hit on an interesting facet of this whole small business discussion. For example, the SBA regulations define a manufacturing concern as being a, quote, small business if it has less than 500 employees. And I think you or I would look at a business like that and think, well, that's a pretty good sized firm.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, as exciting as providing funding for a large manufacturer or a large technology company might be, the reality of it is that a lot of the SBA transactions that are done are for true small businesses. And I think it's fair to say that we're talking about, you know, firms with 15 or fewer employees, and in certain instances, one or two or three. They may always be small firms. You know, some of these are going to grow, and that's wonderful, but there's nothing wrong with the idea of providing funding to somebody that's effectively delivering a product or service and doing it, you know, by themselves or maybe with a spouse or a small group of folks. And I think that is probably a fairly typical profile of the recipient of a lot of Small Business Administration financing products.
Well, that's good to hear for all the small business out there. We're speaking with Mark Costello of the SBA, and I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business. In the past, it seems like the SBA programs focused on non-tech startups as well. Are there programs for those folks?
Technology firms oftentimes will inquire about SBA assistance, and it is and has been a little bit more of a difficult match for somebody like me to make for those kinds of firms, because the challenge is that oftentimes the typical SBA participating lender doesn't necessarily deal in the arena of technology companies.
Is that a risk aversion?
I think it's a risk aversion, and I think it's sort of the idea that it's difficult sometimes to see and grasp and understand just exactly what you're looking at with a technology company as opposed to maybe a more typical service or retail or manufacturing kind of concern. And so I think that the lending community in general, at least the folks that are doing the SBA types of lending, are not particularly oriented toward the technology firms. And as such, it's more difficult to get the debt financing through the SBA program in place for a technology firm. Having said that, though, there are some resources out there for those kinds of companies. The Small Business Administration has something called the Small Business Investment Company Program. And essentially, these are venture capital firms that have been partly capitalized by funding from the Small Business Administration. The funding can be debt or equity funding. If I were to look into that, I think a great portal is to simply go to the SBA website at sba.gov and look up SBIC, Small Business Investment Company. From there, you can find out just exactly who is participating in this program, where are these venture funds located, and what are their particular criteria for funding businesses. The other valuable program that's out there for, frankly, for any existing business, but for technology firms as well, is a, I think, sometimes underrated and underpromoted program that is partly funded by the Small Business Administration. And this is what we call the Small Business Development Center Network. Here we're talking a little bit more about counseling, guidance, mentoring for businesses that maybe are in operation now, but are looking to take the operation to the next level, or are looking to obtain funding to help the business get to where they're looking to go.
And are they typically well-equipped to work with tech startups?
I think if I were seeking this kind of assistance, I would take a look at the profile of the counselor. There are 26 different SBDC, Small Business Development Centers, if you will, throughout the state of Washington. And there are a good handful of those counselors that are well-equipped and knowledgeable and able to discuss and understand the issues that are going to be specific to a technology firm. Here in Seattle, for example, to put a plug in for one particular counselor that does a wonderful job dealing with an array of firms and different kinds of needs, but has a orientation toward technology companies. There's a gentleman named Michael Franz that actually counsels. His operation is right downtown. I think he's in the 5th and Pike building. This is a great opportunity. This kind of assistance, this service is available at no cost. It's going to be confidential in nature, and folks oftentimes will end up engaging with these counselors over months and in some cases even years, to the extent that the counselor will become a trusted member of the kind of inner advisory circle of some very successful firms.
I read recently also that the SBDC has market research capabilities, which I didn't even realize. I mean, I've been a SCORE counselor for, I don't know, almost 10 years. And you can actually access their market research and get the help of a counselor if you're trying to find out who your market is, what is the market potential, do projections and forecasts about what your business might be, which is something that's so critical to writing a business plan, or even if you're going for VC money or things like that, you really have to have those numbers in your back pocket. And so they have this resource, and all you have to do is make an appointment and go talk to them about it, and they can access some of the most expensive research available.
That's exactly right. The SBDC program is a really interesting model. Here in the state of Washington, the lead center, if you will, is the Washington State University. So they're part of WSU, and they're also partly funded by SBA. But they have access to the resources that would be available through a large university system. So that's where we would see the ability to tap into that research capability, which oftentimes can really make the difference in that business planning process, whether we're talking about a new business or somebody who's looking to take advantage of a new market opportunity.
We're going to be talking with Mark more about how you can tap into the minds of lenders and what they care about and all that kind of thing. We've been talking about starting and growing businesses here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block, and you're listening to Minding Your Business. If you have ideas or comments, give us a call at 866-712-1300 or tweet MYB Media. We would love to hear your comments, your questions, your thoughts, your ideas. Anything you'd like to discuss about business lending here on Minding Your Business. We'll be right back after this. We're here with Mark Costello from the SBA, answering questions about business lending and how you can tap into it. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is, what is the relationship between the SBA and the lenders themselves?
That's a great question, and I think that oftentimes I will talk to people and they'll want to know, hey, where do I pick up my application for an SBA loan and this type of thing? And what I generally tell them is, okay, what you need to understand is that an SBA loan is going to, from your perspective, look a lot like any other business loan. And so what needs to actually occur is that the prospective SBA loan recipient is going to actually make application to the small business lender of their choice in the typical manner that anybody would apply for a small business loan at that lending institution. So it could be an application packet at the bank. It could be something online. It could be a kind of more old-fashioned case of sitting down and talking to somebody at the bank branch. Whatever the case is, the bank is going to take that information and essentially use their internal processes to make a determination whether or not they want to make a loan to that individual or to that business. If the answer to that is yes, then the other question they'll ask themselves is, do we need an SBA guarantee on this loan in order to make that happen? If the answer to that is yes, the bank will approve the loan internally, and thereby they'll work with the loan applicant to get the necessary information that they need to reach a favorable loan decision. And then they will approve the loan subject to getting SBA's guarantee. In turn, the bank will submit an application or a request for guarantee to SBA on behalf of the customer. So SBA ultimately will get back to the lender with a commitment. The lender then will close and disperse the loan pretty much in the same fashion as any other business loan. So from the perspective of that loan applicant, again, this is going to look a lot like any other loan application process. Admittedly, there are some SBA documents that are going to need to be completed as part of that process, but it's a remarkably limited set of documents. The vast majority of the work that goes on in getting an SBA deal put together and the vast majority of the materials that are compiled are going to be exactly the same as what a lender would require and use in order to make a conventional small business loan.
So you're saying that the person starts at the bank and then the bank takes care of having the relationship with the SBA. But it seems to me that there are so many small business people that are just starting out. They don't even know what bank to approach, what to say to them. How do they even fill out the paperwork? Does the SBA provide any assistance with that? And should they actually come to you first?
Absolutely, there is assistance available. It's one of the things, quite frankly, that I spend a fair amount of time doing is just hopefully being available and accessible to prospective loan applicants. And there are other folks in our office that can do the exact same thing and kind of talk about this process, what to expect, and then hopefully steer them in the direction of some resources that might position them or help to position them for success in that financing process. So specifically what I'd be talking about there would be the idea of tapping into assistance through SCORE, which is a wonderful organization that provides small business advice, counseling, and training, like the SBDC network, at no cost. There are folks there that have extensive business experience and know how to sit down and talk with prospective business owners and borrowers about what it takes to formulate a viable financing proposal. Because that's ultimately what it's going to come down to is the degree of preparation that potential loan applicant has put into getting ready to go talk to the lender. So SCORE is a great opportunity there, hanging out there, available one-on-one, live, even over the internet in some cases, if somebody's kind of in a remote situation. Terrific resource. There's another organization out there called the Women's Business Center that does the same kind of thing. These are folks that are available to work with business owners. There are three women's business centers in the Puget Sound area, one in downtown Seattle, one in Tacoma, one up north in the Mukilteo area.
Do you need to be a woman too?
You don't, interestingly, but I think the women indicator in their name allows them to maybe access certain funding opportunities that wouldn't be available otherwise. But the fact of the matter is that the Women's Business Center organization is available to pretty much all shapes and sizes of existing and prospective
genders,
business owners.
You might
correct.
Say.
Genders, yes.
I'm here with Mark Costello of the SBA, and you're listening to Minding Your Business, the show created for small business here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. I'm Robin Block. Do you have any questions for my guest? Facebook or tweet us at MYB Media or call 866-712-1300. So what kind of banks do you work with?
You know, it's a really interesting array of lenders in the small business community or the small business lending community in the state of Washington. And actually, our responsibility, in fact, stretches over into northern Idaho. But if you were to look kind of at a snapshot of the lenders that are active participants in the SBA program, it's really interesting. There is a component that's comprised of some of the larger national banks. For example, just off the top of my head, perennially active participants would include U.S. Bank, Key Bank, Wells Fargo, and in recent years, Chase is quite active in SBA lending. But at the same time, we work with a lot of the what we would consider to be community banks in the area. Those banks that are really local in nature might have one branch or 5 or 10 branches. Oftentimes, we'll utilize the Small Business Administration Loan Program as a way to really effectively serve their small business constituents.
And do you think community banks are more likely to lend to a business startup when they support the community itself?
You know, I probably wouldn't say that that they're going to be more or less likely, but I think oftentimes it's going to be easier for a prospective SBA loan recipient to have the kind of access that they need to really make the case for their financing proposal.
When we talk about financing proposal, we're really talking about the business plan, right?
The business plan.
That has strong financials, P&Ls,
and
profit and loss
exactly,
statements.
Exactly.
Tell me what other financials are in there while we're on the topic.
Sure. So the way I would look at it is that in particular for a startup, a loan applicant absolutely needs to have a business plan. You know, something that a lender or a funder can look at and readily understand the nature of the business and ultimately how it's going to be operated in a manner that is going to produce a profit.
And enough money to pay back the
loan,
I would
think. And enough money
to
pay the loan back. And components of that certainly are going to be, for a startup business, projections, revenues and expenses, and certainly on a monthly basis, that are going to be carefully thought out and confidently articulated by that loan applicant so that the lender can see and get a comfort level with how, in fact, this business is going to be able to repay the proposed debt.
There has to be a certain amount of believability, I think. If that's not really a technical term in the business lexicon, but I think that's really what you're trying to establish with those projections.
Clearly. And you know, I always kind of laugh at myself because I, over the years, probably hundreds or thousands of times have talked about business plans and projections, and I tell people that this is what you're going to need. But I know that the reality of it is that exercise is very difficult. The idea of coming up with accurate and well-founded revenue projections for a startup business, I would think could be daunting.
So how would somebody, like what kind of information do they really have to put out there to make the case?
Well, I think that that's where, again, if it were me, I would look at some of those resources, the SCORE organization and the Small Business Development Center Network, as a way to help me as that potential loan applicant zero in on some believable numbers, whether it's a matter of getting a better understanding of exactly who your market is or getting a better understanding of the demand for your particular product or service. I think that those folks can help somebody who otherwise might be overwhelmed by the prospect of having to quantify that.
Are there certain types of businesses that are more likely to get a loan? I mean, we talked about how the tech thing might be an issue because, gosh, trying to put projections on a new technology or things like that is just way too risky in a lot of ways. But what kind of business, do they like retail better? Do they like, manufactured goods better? What's more interesting to them?
Right. One of the things that I like to do as I'm talking about the SBA loan program, in particular with lenders that are not actively engaged in that, is to show them kind of a breakdown of the different kinds of industries that are benefiting from the SBA program. And year in and year out, it's really funny that if you talk to lenders, one of the types of businesses that they generally will kind of try to steer clear of, not that it's a bad type of business, is restaurants.
I knew you were going to say that.
But ironically, year in and year out, at the same time, the top industry in terms of recipient of SBA loan assistance, numbers-wise, is restaurants. So the fact of the matter is there are lenders out there that, given the right proposal and the right situation, will finance restaurants. But service businesses, retail businesses, certainly hospitality, restaurants, hotel motels have certainly been a very popular use of the SBA program over the years, whether we're talking about ground up types of projects, but more likely change of ownership. One particular segment, though, over probably the last 10 years, it's become very popular is the professional service sector, dentists, doctors, podiatrists, veterinarians, attorneys, etc.
I'm here with Mark Costello of the SBA, and you're listening to Minding Your Business, the show created for small business here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL. Give us a call with your questions at 866-712-1300. We'll be back. My guest today is Mark Costello of the Seattle District SBA office. Since the Job Act was passed, SBA programs have assisted nearly 21,000 small businesses, which, huge number. Yet we still seem to be in a financial slump. What is the SBA's role in getting that economy moving? I mean, they're doing the loans and everything. Is there anything else they can do? And do you feel like in some ways your hands are tied?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Robin. I think there's reason for optimism. If you were to look at the numbers, my particular area of focus, as you mentioned, is the dealing with lenders and the SBA loan program. And while we saw some real spikes in lending activity as a result of the Recovery Act and the Jobs Act that I mentioned earlier, the overall level of lending through the SBA program now has come back to what I would consider to be kind of a normalized rate. But interestingly, we're now at a point nationwide, and I think it's pretty well mirrored here in the state of Washington in the Puget Sound area, where the level of SBA lending is on par with where it was prior to the beginning of the recession. So I see that as a reason for some optimism. We actually have now got some lenders that have made or taken tangible steps to become more active in the SBA loan programs. And I see that as something that certainly is going to be a positive for the small business community going forward. But at the same time, I think it's useful for small businesses to be aware and understand where lenders are coming from, that in fact there are some constraints that might come into play as part of that loan process and the loan decision that lender is going to make.
Banks, don't they have to have, I was speaking to some bankers recently, and they were saying that they have to keep a certain amount of money in reserve.
Sure. So what they're talking about there is really that for a regulated financial institution to be in good standing. Here in the state of Washington, we're talking about the Department of Financial Institutions. We're also talking typically about the FDIC, that the lender has to have adequate capital on their balance sheet and be in reasonable financial condition in order to continue to provide loans to small businesses or otherwise.
Some of the bankers were saying that some of those numbers were unreasonable, which means that they didn't have enough money to lend.
That's correct. Now, one of the things that lenders have done, which I see as a positive, certainly for SBA, is that they have maybe come to take another look at the benefits of the Small Business Administration Guaranteed Loan Program. What that essentially allows a lender to do is benefit from a lesser requirement to set aside capital when they make a loan. They only have to set aside capital based on the unguaranteed portion of an SBA loan. And as I mentioned, in some cases, that can be as much as an 85% guarantee. So there are some financial kind of operational benefits to a lender who uses the SBA program, which can be really advantageous in the environment in which those lenders are operating. Over the last 3 years or so, we know that has been a pretty turbulent situation for a lot of lenders, and a lot of them are getting stronger in terms of their financial condition.
So who is setting those limits then? I'm a little confused.
I think we're talking about the FDIC, who in the state of Washington works in collaboration with the Department of Financial Institutions at the state. I'm certainly not an expert on regulatory requirements for lenders, but suffice it to say that those kinds of requirements, whether we're talking about capital requirements, whether we're talking about lending limits, or whether we're talking about industry restrictions, are going to be partly dictated by those regulatory agencies, and to a certain extent, they're going to be dictated by the management of those lending institutions who are trying to manage that operation in a prudent but productive fashion.
To me, it's kind of interesting. It's like the government gives and taketh away at the same time.
It is interesting in that, for example, we're providing this program, this opportunity for lenders maybe to provide funding that wouldn't otherwise be available. Yet at the same time, those regulatory agencies are looking at the lenders and saying, hey, wait a minute, you guys are going to have to be careful in these certain areas. So yeah, there are some different masters that they have to answer to. And you know, the hope is that over time, some of those lenders can use the SBA program to bring in more healthy customers, to help more businesses, and ultimately become healthy themselves.
And part of that issue is it's like chicken or egg, though. You know, I mean, how do you get healthy businesses without capital? So, you know, that
exactly.
is a problem. You know,
exactly.
The other issue that comes up is that the White House says they want to secure commitments from 13 of the nation's largest lenders to increase lending by $20 billion over the next 3 years to small business. Are those commitments actually being made by the big businesses?
I think they are.
The big banks?
I think that some of the information that I have seen, Robin, suggests that in fact some substantive steps are being taken. A couple of lenders in this area that would come to mind by Bank of America and Chase to ensure that money is going to be through a variety of different initiatives made available to the small business community. I can't talk specifically about whether they're going to hit that $20 billion target or whatever
it
was.
That sounds a little politic, if you
yes,
know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. But I think there are things that are going on in that regard.
It seems to me the government could do a lot. If they're the ones that are trying to give all the money for the recovery, they should be setting those parameters. They should be draw. You know, if they're going to be the master lenders, so to speak,
right?
They
right.
need to, you know, step up and make sure that the people that the money is passed through are actually giving it out to the people who need it.
Right, right. I think one of the things that SBA has attempted to do is maintain a close dialogue with those large lenders to ensure that to the extent possible, at least in the domain of the SBA world, that they are actively engaged in our loan programs. And that can make a big difference. While I talked about the benefit of the community banks, without the participation of the large lenders in our program, we probably wouldn't see the kind of success that we have seen over the last 10, 15, 20 years.
So it looks like we're out of time, and we've been speaking with Mark Costello from the Seattle office of the SBA. And to learn so much more, you can visit the SBA.gov website and also check out the local Seattle office of the SBA. Next week, we're going to replay one of our favorite shows. Like our Facebook page, and we'll keep you posted about what's coming up. For an archive of today's program, links to our guest websites, and so much more, visit mybmedia.com. From Money Radio KKOL 1300 in Seattle, this has been Mining Your Business, reality radio for entrepreneurs. I'm your host and producer, Robin Block.
You've been listening to Mining Your Business with Robin Block. Real business know-how for today's entrepreneurs. To contact Robin, you can email Robin with two B's at blockbeta.com. That's Robin at blockbeta.com. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 1 for more Minding Your Business with Robin Block here on Money Radio 1300 KKOL.